Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with African football. And here's a sunny side of sports salute to the Warriors of Zimbabwe, who lifted the COSAFA Cup trophy in neighboring South Africa. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as more African football news.
Zimbabwe claimed a record fifth COSAFA Castle Cup with a deserved 3-1 victory over Zambia in the final played at the Royal Boafokeng Sports Palace in South Africa's Northwest Province on Sunday. Zimbabwe have been the best team in the tournament, playing 6 matches in 14 days and scoring an impressive 19 goals in the process. It was tough on Zambia, who entered the competition at the quarterfinal stage and had an impressive campaign, but could not contain the confident Zimbabweans in the decider. Harambee Stars coach Stanley Okumbi is set to name an all-star team ahead of a historic tour of the Spanish La Liga beginning July 16th through to July 25. The tour is fully sponsored by the Spanish La Liga as part of a partnership between the world's leading football league and the Sportpesa Premier League. In Nigeria, the Nigerian League Management Company, which oversees the Nigerian Professional Football League, has rescheduled a match involving Remo Stars and FC Ifeanyi Ubah. This was after 16 first-team players of Remo Stars Football Club fell sick as a result of food poisoning. The match was initially scheduled for Sunday and will not take place on Tuesday. Remo Stars are bottom in the Nigerian Professional Football League with 27 points from 27 games, while FC Ifeanyi Ubah are sixth on the log with 41 points from 27 games. Results of the CAF Champions League matches that was played across various venues on the continent this past weekend. 8 quarterfinalists have emerged following the conclusion of the group stages of matches. Mamelodi Sundowns were held to a 1-1 draw by AS Vita in the final Group C match on Sunday evening. That result means Sundowns finished second on the log and advanced into the quarterfinals to face Group D winners Wydad Casablanca. At the start, the Olympic de Raids, Esperance of Tunisia were 4-0 winners over St. George and will now meet Egyptian side Al Ahly in the quarterfinals between the 8th to the 10th of September 2017. Elsewhere, Recreativo Libolo of Angola grabbed a quarterfinal spot despite being held 0-0 at home by Samoa of Egypt in the last Group C match. Al Hilal Obeid, the leaders ahead of the final series of mini league fixtures, were disqualified on Friday after FIFA banned Sudan for government interference in football. Also out is Egyptian giant Zamalek, who could only manage a 2-2 draw at home to Al Ahly Tripoli. And finally, in Group C, Algeria saw Usma defeat Caps United to seal top spot. They will now face Mozambique's Favoriviero Biera in the quarterfinals, while Tripoli will battle Etoile du Sahel. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Here in the United States, action resumes Tuesday at the CONCACAF Gold Cup competition, a regional championship tournament for football teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. There will be two Group A matches at BBVA Compass Stadium in Houston, Texas, the home of Major League Soccer's Houston Dynamo Club. Canada will play Costa Rica in the first match Tuesday evening, and that will be followed by a game between Honduras and French Guiana. Canada kicked off the Gold Cup last Friday evening with a 4-2 victory over French Guiana at Red Bull Arena near New York City, and Costa Rica edged Honduras 1-0 at the same venue. In Group B results from the weekend, Martinique defeated Nicaragua 2-0, and the USA and Panama played to a 1-1 draw. Both matches were held at Nissan Stadium in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee. I'll have more on the USA-Panama match, but first, the Group C results from the weekend in the Gold Cup. Jamaica defeated Curaçao 2-0, and defending Gold Cup champion Mexico, winners of a record 7 Gold Cup trophies, began its campaign with a 3-1 victory over El Salvador. Both matches were played in San Diego, California. Getting back to the USA-Panama match, British-born striker Dom Dwyer opened the scoring for the Americans in the 50th minute. Miguel Camargo, a 23-year-old midfielder for Major League Soccer's New York City FC club, got the equalizer for Panama 10 minutes later. As I mentioned on the show last week, Dom Dwyer is the husband of U.S. Women's National Team soccer team player Sydney LaRue. This was Dom's second international goal for the USA. He also scored July 1st in a 2-1 victory over Ghana in a friendly international match played in East Hartford, Connecticut. Now, attendance at the USA-Panama Gold Cup match was 47,622, the largest soccer crowd in Tennessee state history. Among those on hand for the game was Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer. Garber also met with top officials about Nashville's bid to get a MLS expansion franchise. And in his words, and I quote, "Nashville has really risen pretty high on the list." Major League Soccer currently has 22 clubs. The league is planning to expand to 28 clubs by 2018 or 2019, and Nashville is one of more than a dozen cities hoping to get an MLS expansion franchise. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll review the 29th African Union Summit that was dominated by discussions on war and conflict, but also talks on investing in the African youth. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Come back, baby, come back.
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled Crawford versus Ndongo is Crossroads World Title Fight. The VOA's longtime boxing analyst, Namdi Hollywood Moweta, has made the short flight from his home base of Los Angeles to Las Vegas more than a few times over the years for world championship fights. Namdi says he's looking forward to traveling to a new destination next month, though. He'll be making his first trip to Lincoln, Nebraska, where American Terrence Crawford will take on Namibian Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo August 19th for the undisputed World Junior Welterweight Championship. Namdi sometimes talks about crossroads fights on the Sunny Side of Sports, and Crawford Ndongo has all the qualities of such a bout. While it will be fought at the 140-pound junior welterweight limit, Namdi says both boxers are likely to move up afterwards to the more competitive welterweight class for financial reasons. The 29-year-old Crawford is from Omaha, Nebraska, not far from Lincoln, and he'll enjoy the support from many home fans. The 34-year-old Ndongo, though, has proven he can win in the lion's den. The Namibian fighter traveled to Glasgow earlier this year and scored a unanimous decision victory over Scotland's Ricky Burns to retain two of his world title belts and win another. And in December 2016, the Blue Machine Ndongo traveled to Moscow and punched his way to a spectacular 42nd first-round knockout of Russia's Edward Troyanovsky. For that quick KO and two other wins earlier in the year, Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo, the pride of Windhoek, Namibia, was named the Sunny Side of Sports Fighter of the Year for 2016. For his part, Terrence Crawford currently holds two world title belts and is recognized as the world's best junior welterweight by The Ring magazine. This world championship unification fight will be televised on ESPN here in the USA and will be staged at the Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska. The indoor arena, which has a seating capacity of about 15,000, opened in 2013 and is the home of the University of Nebraska's men's and women's basketball teams.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
English football star Wayne Rooney has rejoined his boyhood club Everton on a two-year deal after 13 trophy-filled years at Manchester United. The 31-year-old Rooney moved to Goodison Park in Liverpool for an undisclosed fee. He had a very successful career at Man U, winning the UEFA Champions League trophy, five Premier League titles, the FA Cup, and Rooney was also named the English Footballer of the Year in 2010. In an interview with Everton TV, Wayne Rooney talked about how special it would be to win another trophy with Everton.
It'd be, I think that would be the pinnacle, because I remember the FA Cup final in 95. I was there as a 9-year-old. And for that to be the last trophy, I think Everton should have won more trophies since then. But I really feel now they're moving in the right direction. You know, they're bringing the right calibre of players in. And yeah, I want to be part of it. I want to hopefully be part of a successful Everton team.
Wayne Rooney joined the Everton youth team at the age of 9 and made his professional debut for the club in 2002 at the age of 16. Rooney exploded onto the Premier League scene, netting a stunning winner for Everton against Arsenal when he was 16 years old, and then moving on to Manchester United 2 years later for a fee reported by British media to be more than $32 million. Rooney went on to score 253 goals for Man U to become their all-time leading scorer, eclipsing the late Bobby Charlton's record. Now Rooney is back with Everton, and the club's Dutch manager, Ronald Koeman, sounds delighted.
That's fantastic, because I spoke to Wayne several days ago, and he was desperate to come back. I think he showed to me, and he will show to everybody, how much he likes Everton and to come back his home. And he's still 31, and I didn't have any doubt about his qualities. And it's all about his fitness, his desire, but he showed me that ambition, what we need, and he knows to win titles.
Everton Football Club manager Ronald Koeman talking about the return of Wayne Rooney. Just ahead on the sunny side of sports, my VOA colleague Doug Bernard will join us for a look at what's trending in sports. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us now for a look at sports social media trends is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Sporty greetings, Doug.
Sporty Monday greetings, Sonny.
What's trending out there on this Monday, Doug?
Well, a number of sports, a number of topics, but I think we have to begin today. At least Twitter and Facebook want to spend a lot of time applauding Venus Williams. She defeated her opponent 6-3, 6-2. Over Anna Konhu. I believe that's how it's pronounced. I may be getting the pronunciation wrong. Now, that in itself is fine, but I think what people are really focusing on, and what Twitter seems to be focusing on, is the age difference between the two.
Mm.
Anna Konhu, or Konha, is 19 years old, and Venus Williams is 37.
Wow.
And here's another fact for you. Venus Williams first played on the Wimbledon greens 6 months before Anna Konhu was even born. So a lot of people applauding her on Twitter, her celebrating becoming the oldest woman to reach the quarterfinals since Navratilova in 1994. So really quite remarkable. She has not tweeted out anything yet, but many, many people are sending their good regards to her. I'm just looking through a number of these. Of course, this comes on the heels. You may recall a few weeks back, she was involved in a car accident.
Right.
Last month, actually.
Florida.
In Florida. And earlier this month, police had charged her, and they said she was at fault. Now, they've since reversed that decision and say that she was not at fault. There was a fatality, so a really challenging time for Venus Williams, but a great victory for her today, I think. And as I say, lots of people on Twitter tweeting out their applause and excuse me, admiration, I guess, for just her longevity and staying power.
And in terms of that longevity, Doug, 20th Wimbledon for Venus Williams, and maybe with her younger sister not playing this time around because of her pregnancy.
Right.
Maybe it's time for Venus to lift that trophy.
What has it been? I think since maybe 2008.
It's been a few years.
It's been a number of years, and but she's, like I said, she's showing no signs of slowing down. I did want to mention one other thing about social media, Twitter, and Wimbledon. When we think of Twitter, we think of, you know, these tiny little messages and that sort of thing. But they've been aggressively moving into video. And I've been noticing that if you search under just hashtag Wimbledon or at Wimbledon, you're likely to come up with the Wimbledon channel, which is live on Twitter. I'm actually watching right now. Looks like somebody just went down on the grass, that notoriously slippery grass this time around. So a lot of people, you know, it's interesting. If you can't, you know, if it's a hard, you know, you can't find it on TV or that sort of thing, Twitter may be a good solution for you.
You mentioned the grass surface, Doug. I don't think there have been a lot of thumbs up for the grass at this Wimbledon.
No, not this year. And the groundskeepers believe that it has something to do with it. It's been very sunny. It's been very warm. But it's also been very dry. Now, I don't know anything about groundskeeping. I don't know why that would make the surface much more slippery or bumpy even, as some people have alleged. But that's part of the conversation.
The conversation in France is about the big cycling event, Doug. What's going on there?
Well, today is a rest day. It was a day up and down several mountains, including Mont de Chat, Cat Mountain, over in France, near the Swiss border. There were a couple bad crashes. Richie Porte, among them, he took a spill. He was challenging Chris Froome several times. And he was going down, they clocked him at about 70 kilometers an hour, going downhill, going down this mountain. He hit a wet patch, and he went flying. He went flying into a large boulder. It was, I mean, honestly, he's lucky to be alive. They say he has a broken collarbone. He has a number of other broken bones and some internal contusions. But, boy, I don't know. It seems like he's getting away with a lot there. But very quickly, I think a lot of people are also talking about Fabio Aru. Now, very quickly, there is a unofficial rule, it's sort of a gentleman's agreement, that if the yellow jersey leader has what's called a mechanical, if something breaks down on their bike, they have to switch it out or whatnot, that nobody else should challenge at that point. You can challenge him, you know, before or whatever or after, but while the yellow jersey leader is having a mechanical, everybody just kind of holds their place. This is not an official rule.
A gentleman's agreement.
A gentleman's agreement. Well, that agreement was broken by Fabio Aru yesterday, just moments after Froome sent his hand up. He had a mechanical. Aru made his move, and in cycling, it was considered, some people really called it classless. And interestingly, none of the other cyclists would support Aru. You know, if you're making a dive for the front, you want some cyclists around you because you can kind of share the burden, share the work, and all that kind of thing. Nobody went to help him, which leads me to think that, you know, everybody thought he just overstepped his bounds there. So a lot of people talking about that and what a kind of quote-unquote classless thing it was for Aru to do.
VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug.
You bet.
And that wraps up the July 10th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Every aspect of transnational crime has widespread negative consequences, causing serious harm to every society at every level. Due to the increasingly global nature of criminal organizations, transnational crime affects all countries, and all must play their part in bringing to light the many incarnations of transnational crime and preventing, investigating, and prosecuting them. In late June, the UN General Assembly held a high-level debate on transnational organized crime. In commemoration of the 25th anniversary of the assassination of Giovanni Falcone, an Italian judge and prosecuting magistrate who dedicated his professional life to working to overthrow the Sicilian Mafia. Giovanni Falcone, along with his close friend and colleague Paolo Borsellino, was instrumental in the successful prosecution of numerous organized crime figures, including the Maxi trial of 1986 to 1987, the biggest crackdown on organized crime in Sicily, during which 360 convictions were secured. Judge Falcone also helped foster a new era of international law enforcement cooperation by working together with the New York City Police Department, FBI, and U.S. prosecutors on their parallel efforts to combat the mafia's illegal drug trafficking and money laundering schemes through the famous Pizza Connection trial. Giovanni Falcone died in May 1992 when 500 kilograms of explosives packed into a highway culvert were remotely detonated as Falcone drove over them. 2 months after Falcone's assassination, Paolo Borsellino was killed by a car bomb also set by the mafia. Falcone's assassination helped pave the way for the adoption of the landmark UN Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime, also known as the Palermo Convention, which came into force in December 2003. Giovanni Falcone proved that there is nothing inevitable or invincible about transnational organized crime. He demonstrated that the mafia could be defeated through painstaking investigation, cooperation across borders, and unwavering and uncompromising integrity. Judge Falcone was a patriot of Italy and a friend of the United States. Committed to dismantling the mafia, he worked with U.S. law enforcement to share evidence, obtain witnesses, and collaborate on groundbreaking cases in Sicily and New York, said State Department Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, Daniel Foote. If Judge Falcone had the opportunity to meet his counterparts from 187 countries and a treaty to help them work together, what could he have accomplished, and can we do the same?
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Africa, I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll review the 29th African Union Summit that was dominated by discussions on war and conflict, but also talks on investing in the African youth. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.